Well, hello, everybody. Welcome, church. Welcome to the Looking Both Ways podcast live. We've been doing these live for the past few weeks, and so it's been pretty cool to see some of you hop on here with us. So if you are joining us live, go ahead and comment. Let us know you're here. Comment in the chat. We can see your chats coming through, and we'll respond to them as we can. And if you're not, if you're listening later, welcome. We're glad that you're joining us. This is a great resource that we want to give to our church to help you remember what we talked about on Sunday, because I know that the second Monday hits, it can all fall out of there. And so we want to remind you of that, but then also look forward to what's coming this weekend, and even look forward to what's coming tonight as we get to have all of our small groups meeting, not all of them, but our small groups meeting. We get to have life inside this building, which is always exciting. So I am, as always, joined alongside Pastor Rich here, to talk about last Sunday. And so that's where we're going to start. So Pastor Rich, mm-hmm. You spoke on a church that's dead. So go ahead and give us the updates, the most important points, I guess you could say, from this past Sunday. I'll actually go ahead and pull out my notes too, just in case I had any questions. Yeah. And as we look back at last Sunday.
Well, I think about the church at Sardis is always a hard church to talk about because nobody wants to think they're dead when they're doing church. And so to have to confront the possibility of that reality is always challenging for everybody. And so, I mean, that's really what it comes down to is it really the church, Jesus really asked the church a question. I mean, you look like you're doing something. You look like you're being a Jesus follower. You look like you're being a Christian. You look like you're going doing all those things. And the church looks like it's being a church that Jesus would want the church to be. But he says, all that activity really isn't anything. You're really dead. And for a lot of people, that's not a good place to be. And for some people, they know that that's a reality in their life, that they're just kind of going through the motions and doing that. So there's different ways to respond to it. So it was just, that's what the challenge of that church is. And the fact is that Jesus says, you got to wake up and you got to be alert and we got to be aware and do these things that we need to do to understand it. And I really got, it's so interesting between the two services, for me, cause you never know how you're going to respond, from one service to the next. And a lot of it has to do with what you see from the people that you're standing in front of, or in my case, sitting in front of. And so, you know, when we got to the end, we were just talking about, you know, it's like, you know, because the question I asked is, we have to ask ourselves is, are we dead or are we alive? You have to ask yourself that as a church. You have to ask yourself that as an individual follower of Jesus. And so, I just really, in the first service, I usually don't expect too much reaction.
Right.
But in the second service,
there should be.
Yeah, right? There is. And a lot of times they're much more interactive, with the message than the second service is. And I always wonder why that is. And I think it's just because people just aren't really sure, or they don't know, or they're apprehensive. You know, everybody has their reasons for those kinds of things. But I just really just, you know, that challenge, like if you're spiritually dead, is something that we all have to wrestle with. And so, you know, those are challenging questions. And what do we do about it to ignite that and to do those things is kind of where we tried to go. And, you know, when I got to the end, when I talked about, you know, you just say your name, because Jesus promised that their names would be written in the Lamb's book of life, you know, in the book of life. And so, I mean, that should be an exciting, invigorating amen moment. And I'm looking out at the 10-15 crowd, and you could just tell they weren't really. I said, "You say your name, audibly say your name, if you remember this or not." Uh-huh. And say mine. You know, this is what Jesus says. You know, for my case, Rich belongs to me; he is mine. I mean that's a really encouraging, comforting, inspiring thing to hear about. And you know, kind of hope a little bit more. But, you know, people did end up responding later. People just sometimes we watch others, you know. You don't want to – we're not trying to coerce anything here, because I don't want anything coerced. I want the Spirit to move in people's lives to do those things. But sometimes you got to – seems like you got to spur the horse a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. If I'm being completely honest, I wasn't quite sure what I was supposed to be reading with my name. So I don't normally have the note. Maybe you're with me. If you are, you uh-huh. know. But I don't normally have the note sheet in front of me. I take my own notes, which I've got right here. And so when we put our name there, I was like, well, I'm just going to blindly follow the people ahead of me and see if I can echo what they're saying. But maybe you guys are with me on that. Yeah. But no, it was great. Probably my favorite thing that was said, really, I'm always kind of trying to look at the thesis, right? Mm-hmm. The main statement that kind of sums up what's being discussed. And one of the things that really stood out was religious activity is not a barometer of your spiritual vitality. Can you go into that a little bit for us?
Well, let's be honest. We can all do the practice, the religious activity, and nobody really know where your heart is. We certainly calendar enough stuff for people to take opportunity, if they so choose, to be at church regularly, to do a lot of religious activity, you know, whether it's in groups or in church or helping with a ministry within the church. And we as leaders, we can fall into the same thing. There's a lot of what we do, Tim, that we can do with a dead heart and a dead soul. You've been doing it long enough now. I've been doing it long enough that, you know, I can churn out the religious stuff very, very quickly. And that doesn't mean that my heart and my relationship with Jesus is necessarily in the right place. And so that's what that means. Spiritual vitality has to do with your soul. And I talked a lot, and you've heard me talk a lot about this. It's something I'm really studying and learning a lot, really want to evolve in teaching the church more about, is just taking care of our soul and quit measuring our love for Jesus by activity. That's not proven to be a good measure of people's spiritual walks. In that, it really comes down to being able to, as the old song goes, walk with Jesus and to know that he's there with you, in you, and to love him. It's a relationship. We say it's a relationship, and we say that, but then we say my relationship's good with God because I've done this for him. I've done this. Well, relationships don't necessarily have to have a lot of frenetic activity. Right. I can sit next to my wife in our two lazy boy chairs watching TV, and that doesn't mean we're doing a whole lot of activity, but it doesn't mean my relationship's bad either. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that's the false notion of a modern church, especially in America.
Yeah. Well, no, and I really I think that was just a very well summarized statement. You know, I think we sometimes put the cart before the horse, mm-hmm. in a sense that we think we do things so that way we can be saved or so that we can please God. And instead we do things because we're saved, right? The salvation comes first and then the activity. But the activity is an outflow of the heart. The other thing that I think really stood out that's important to know is this isn't something that you can necessarily judge in another person, right?
Right.
This is something that, I can see the fruit that's coming off your life and I can make a judgment, but at the end of the day, there's a reason why they're called wolves in sheep's clothing, right? That you could look the part, you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. the fruit might look like you're doing great. And I think we encountered this a lot when we were in the Midwest uh-huh. doing ministry out there, of just this cultural Christianity, right? I'll never forget one day a woman was upset about something that I had never met in my entire life. And she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to the senior pastor, and she came off with like, my grandparents built this church, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I've never met you, you know, it has nothing to do with if your grandparents built the church. Where are you spiritually, you know? And so I think there's multiple routes to spiritual death, in a sense. And sometimes they're self-inflicted. Sometimes they're circumstantial. You know, I think there's a lot of things that can cause this spiritual deadness. In a sense, sometimes it can be burnout. Sometimes it can be just assuming that you're trying to please God. And so, you know, I guess as you look at the current culture What do you think are those indicators? But then also, what are some of the, what would you say are some of, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but mm-hmm. what are some of those indicators? But then also, what are some of those things that you think, you know, kind of contribute to causing that deadness? Because, you know, if we're honest, when we say spiritually dead, sometimes it's people are aware of it, but they don't really know the way out of it either.
Right.
That they do know it. Some people don't, some people do, and they don't care. Some people do, and they really want to get out of it. So as for our listeners, what would you say are those indicators? But then what would you also say is kind of a way out? You know, those things.
Well, I mean, I've gone through this, you go through seasons in life and you go through seasons where you feel this way. And I think activity isn't the measure, but I think we can discern as we talk to one another where people's souls are at. Yeah, I mean, you can, because the things that measure vitality of the soul are not measured by the things that we measure. I mean, we can sit, Sardis was a church that did everything that they could look exactly like we are on Sunday morning. But what we hope makes us different is not our activity or our programs. What we hope makes us different and not dead is our heart, our love, those intangible things. And you can tell when people are just kind of looking through you or looking past you or you can tell when people, and you're up on stage too, you can just tell when people are not where they need to be. And so those are the kind of measures. The measures are very, we call them soft skills.
Yeah.
You know, the soft skill kind of things. Loving, you know, greeting, not necessarily being a complete extrovert, that kind of stuff. You can just, there's a discernment of spirit when somebody is dead and when somebody's alive. And yeah. So that's the thing. So how do you get out of it? Well, I think the biggest thing to do is to really just sit with God. And people don't know how to do this. And this is where, and it's our own fault. Because when you were in school, when I was in school, we were taught, we teach people activity. You want to put the defibrillator on your spiritual soul, do more for God. Well, that's not proven to be a good answer. Now, doing nothing for God is not good either, but learning to just sit, because Jesus knows, we talked about this every week, Jesus knows where your heart is. Jesus knows where your soul is. And teaching people to sit with God and let him speak is the biggest issue, I think, that we wrestle with in a modern church life. And so getting people to, yes, you read your scripture, but pray and pray. And if you don't hear anything, that's okay. Just continue to pray to let it out. And God will speak. I mean, we call those the disciplines. Those sounds like deeds, and they're not. They're what we talked about before. They're weights, you know. And he tells the Sardis church to firm it up. Remember he talked about, I said firm it up. He took that word. You know, when you're dead or you don't use your muscles, you may have been able to bench press 250 pounds 10 times at one time. But if you haven't done a bench press in 10 years and you try and do 250 pounds, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, but you do have to start with right. somewhere.
Well, and that reminds me, I've got this verse. I've got it up on the screen for those of you that are watching on YouTube. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. You had mentioned this verse in your sermon. Examine yourselves, or do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail the test? And I think that's kind of what you're saying. You can't confidently tell people how strong you are unless you are in the habit of testing your strength and seeing where that is. And so, you know, you mentioned prayer, you mentioned, you know, listening, those kinds of things.
Worship.
I was going to say, what are some practical ways that you can test?
I mean, worship.
Soul,
I mean,
really?
For me, when I feel devoid of soul, we'll say it that way. I'll put on the headphones, and I have the Beats Pros. I have the over ears.
Yeah.
I love those on the plane for one, but number two, you can literally shut the world off so much better with the over ears than you can with the in ears, as far as I'm concerned. And just what are songs that just bring your soul to life that are about Jesus, and let those just minister to you constantly. I do that. I still do that today. I mean, my kids are so sick of hearing classic Christian hits from the 80s and 90s and the spot. But those were the songs when I was young in faith that got me started and inspired me in the bands that did those things. Like I introduced them to PFR, and you know, PFR was a great band back in the day, and their songs and even older than that. But and then I like to go away. I, you know, when I really want to get away and go, I just go somewhere where you can't be bothered. And you have to ask yourself a question when you're dead. Is it because if you're dead, maybe you, this is going to sound confrontational, but maybe it isn't kind of way. Sometimes people need to ask themselves if they're not dead and they've never been spiritually alive in the first place. So they need to come to know Jesus. And that's first and foremost in their thought. That's right. When you ask yourself about the faith, I'm like, you know, am I a follower of Christ? For those that we have that visit quite often, and they come, and that's their measure. They come to church, all right. You know, they got baptized at some point, but again, that's not the measure. Right. That's what your soul say. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. God is not going to neglect you of that privilege to hear him say that line that you were confused about. When Jesus says, rich is mine, he's with me. He's not going to deprive you of that. And when you start sensing that, I think it, for me, it's inspiring. And hopefully it is for other people as well. When you're dead, it is not an easy road. I'm not saying it's going to solve it tomorrow. And that's kind of misnomer. God could. But he's got you on a journey for a reason. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get through it.
Well, and that testing is again, it's going to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody that's ever had to exercise at all knows that it is good for you, but it's uncomfortable. And a lot of times, a lot of the things that are good for us are uncomfortable. And you mentioned something, one of the things that can cause you to be spiritually dead, I think is really distractions. And mm-hmm. sometimes those things need to be pruned away. And even that can be uncomfortable, you know, yeah. there's something holding your attention. And that's really what worship is. It's directing your attention towards something. And if you have divided attention, you're like Peter, who's going to sink. And so, you know, you kind of ask the question at the end of the day, what are multiple things? What are the things that are stealing my attention or my focus? Because again, those things, you know, for the students listening, video games, time with friends, all that, for the adults listening, downtime, whatever it may be, none of those are bad things. They're just bad gods. And so you have to ask yourself, where is the majority of your focus? By majority, I don't mean 51%, you know, for true worship to happen, God gets all of your attention. God gets all of your focus. There's no distractions. There's nothing keeping you from him, holding you from him. And so, you know, you mentioned something that we talked about last week is that playlist we talked about last week of make a Revelation playlist. I've got it on my list. So right when we're done with this, I'm going to make that Revelation playlist. We'll share it on our social media. But use that, you know, do what you need to do to remind yourself of that. In fact, my brother-in-law and I went to a rugby game this past weekend while we were driving back. We did exactly what you're saying. We walked down memory lane with a bunch of old songs.
Uh-huh.
Some of them, most of them, Christian songs, other ones, just fun ones that we had growing up, you know,
right,
from movies or whatever. But again, just, man, we're taking yourself back to that time when you came to know Jesus. And if you don't remember that day, then you're right. You have to ask yourself if it ever happened. Because I don't believe, and we don't preach that you can lose your salvation. And so, you know, was it even there originally, or was it something that you were forcing yourself to do? Do you remember that day, right? When you finally came face to face with your brokenness and you invited Jesus into your life and it was transformative. Do you remember that day? And if not, man, talk to somebody, talk to Pastor Rich, talk to Pastor Carlos, talk to me, talk to any of our leaders in our church. Cause that's the first thing, right? You can't do anything. You can't be spiritually alive if you don't have the Spirit. And that happens through salvation.
That goes back to what, and we can end this part just with this conversation. You know, I ended my last line in the outline was like, we call ourselves Living Hope Church mm-hmm. for a reason. And as I said, that was a name that the church came up with. You know, we all, you know, that was a whole process that we went through when we changed the name. It's Living Hope Church. There's nothing that more aptly describes what we want to be and should be as a church. When people are spiritually alive, that's inspiring. That's inviting. That's incarnational. All the I words that we use all the time. And so our responsibility is to fulfill that name in living life altogether. And so it's just such an important subject that that there's no fun in being spiritually dead and void. And it's no fun in being in a church that's spiritually dead or void. I've been in them. I've been in a lot of them. And so, my encouragement to everybody is just really do that. I mean, you know, one of the great ways we talk about this a lot is how about being ready for worship on Sunday morning? Be alive when you come in the building. Yeah. Now I get last week was the time change. Everybody lost their hour and
we all felt it. Yeah.
But you know, that really just helps, with that. And, you know, you're right. We get the cart before the horse all the time. And so, and then, you know, this week is completely opposite, you know,
great transition. So where are we heading this coming weekend? Cause about the Eagles, right?
About the Eagles.
Yeah. Philadelphia, right?
They won their title. They're done. they're losing free agents left and right. Keep it going. And we'll go from there. This week's the church in Philadelphia, and this is Sardis was a dead church. Philadelphia's an alive church. It has no criticism. In fact, Jesus says, there is an open door that is coming before you, and you got to be ready when it's open. And Jesus says he's opening the door. And so it's all about opportunities. So this week, I want to kind of talk about, you know, looking for opportunities when God is opening the door. And how do you know when it's God opening a door and the enemy trying to open a door that he wants you to take, but God doesn't want you to take? Because you got to be able to discern when a door's open and whether that door is going to do what God wants you to do or a door that you want to do or the enemy wants you to do. And so I really want to, and to focus on the Great Commission and what we're supposed to be about. Mission ignites everything. Vision, mission, seeing people's lives change. That's what we need to be about, and that's what we want to be about. And we can't, in the midst of our things in our world and the things we may be dealing with in our own church life, we can never lose focus of the fact that we are supposed to be about the Great Commission, and that God has given us, as a church, in spite of all of our whatevers, opportunities that we can't afford to not take God's open door when he offers it. That's quite frankly not obedient. Mm-hmm. And now we have to discern and be all those things. But when God says go, you go. You got to go. You're compelled to go. And you can only explain it by God saying go,
right?
Even if you don't know how you're going to get there. And that's what always gets me is people say, well, I really, really feel like God wants me to go here, but I don't have the what. Well, I'm like, well, does he say he'll have to go today? No. Well, then that doesn't mean it has to be today. It doesn't mean you can't go 2 years from now, a year from now, 6 months from now, when that door opens wide and he gives you the means and the opportunity to go do those things. But discerning the open door that God has for us. I mean, what for a church? I mean, for us as a church, because it's written to a church. Philadelphia, you're already doing the Great Commission. You're a little nothing happening town and a little nothing happening church, but it has everything happening in it. It has a small place, small town. And so what are you doing? I'm amazed all the time at what God has allowed us to do at Living Hope Church over the years and the things that he's allowed us to be a part of. I mean, you know, in spite of all the other things that we deal with in our church, as far as the building and all those kind of things like that. So I'm always amazed. It's just being obedient to opportunity that when God gives it.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And again, like you mentioned missions. You talk about cart before the horse. One of my favorite quotes is from John Piper, where he says, missions is not the goal of, is not the purpose of the church. Worship is. Missions right. exist because worship is not. And so again, if you understand last week and the importance of having your focus on God, what does that prompt you to do? Well, then you realize other people don't have that focus. You realize what it leads to and what happens. You're on mission, right?
Yeah.
Even and the IMB says we're on mission because God's on mission. So, yeah.
And if you want to ignite your soul, do a mission.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, nothing does it better. Nothing does it better than that.
Yeah. Well, so. Awesome. Well, hey, we look forward to seeing you, some of you tonight, or all of you tonight, if you're listening to this, or if you just want to join us on Sunday, we're excited to continue through this series. We're getting close to the end of this one. And we're, crazy enough, we are 1 month and 8 days away from Easter. Time keeps marching on. And hopefully we don't get caught up in the activities, that we forget about the worship. So, thank you so much for the reminders. Thank you for your time. If you're listening, as always, I'm Pastor Tim. He's Pastor Rich. This is the Looking Both Ways podcast. I pray, that it has been a blessing to you. And we really do hope to see you all soon. Come and tell us hi. We'll continue to march through this together. So we'll see you all next time.